So, I'm not much of a New Year guy. Are you a New Year's resolution guy? I'm not really much for all that. But as we start the new year, I guess I was thinking about, it's good to be reminded of the faithfulness of God and all that he's done. Man, think for a second about all that God has done for us. Isn't that crazy? I hear you're great with child. That's awesome. How far along are you? Wowee.
Yep.
You feeling okay, JP? Yeah? All right. Yeah. All right. Just checking. If you need anything, JP, let me know. That's terrific. Isn't God faithful? I mean, just think about it for a little bit, His faithfulness to us, it's amazing. I meant to mention it last week and I forgot, but we've been in this building 6 years last Sunday, 2013, December 22nd. How many of us were a part of this back then? A few of us. Man, isn't that crazy? It's been 6 years we've been in this building. So a part of it today, then, I wanted to just spend some time remembering a little bit about what God's done in our midst. And then maybe that'll help us as we look forward to what he's calling us to be as a body of believers. Oh, let's pray together. Lord, thanks for your... We just worship you for your faithfulness for a thousand reasons and more. But one is that you've been so faithful, God, so faithful. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't trust your promises that are made to us individually and us corporately. We're just blown away how good you are, Lord, how much you love us and the depth of that love. I pray each one of us would know that we're loved by you and really know that deep in our heart, that we're loved by you, God. How special that is. So direct our time, we ask, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. So next week we're going to start Daniel. So if you're a reader, a header, I think I'm going to try to get 6 verses out next week. I've been reading it and looking through, but I wanted to back up, okay? So allow me a little background for you. That's kind of what today is about. Just some, I forget, some of us haven't been around with us for a long time. So I grew up traditional denominational church. But I wasn't really, as a boy and a young man, really able to relate much to the priest or the pastor or the reverend. Sunday mornings, he sat way up there and I sat way back here, and there seemed to be this big disconnect. So we grew up and never heard the gospel message that I recall ever. But middle college, a buddy of mine who I spent a lot of time with growing up, he got saved, and he come down where I lived in Columbus, and he come down on New Year's Eve. We were having a party at the house I was living in, and he come down, but right away you could tell something was different, and so he was talking about the reality of Jesus, and who he is as a person, and what he wants to for me, and so I began to really seek. I remember, I don't know if it was that night or the next night, I remember up in my bedroom just saying, God, if you're real, I need to know. I just need to know, because I look at my life now, and I don't know where this is all headed kind of thing. So anyway, I was saved middle college. And I graduated there with an engineering degree and moved here. I worked for General Electric Medical Systems when I came here. And did that for a while working there. And I started attending a Calvary Chapel church, which is on the north side of town. And I liked its style of worship. I liked its style of teaching, line by line, verse by verse. I really was drawn to that. And I vividly remember the first time I went to that church, they met in the basement of an abandoned, not abandoned, but an unused church. And there may have been 20 people there, 30 people maybe. And so I feel real uncomfortable, you know how it is. But I just go in and sit down. And some guy and a gal get up, and he plays a piano, and she stands beside him, and they sing a few songs. And I think, oh, that's kind of interesting. Where's the organ, and where's the formalities, and where's the pastor? Turns out he was sitting on the same row I was, just down a few seats. And I liked that because I didn't know where who he was, but he just got up when it was his turn to get up and talk. He just got up from amongst us. Like, okay, I think I can identify with this, because I found out, you know, as I was listening and kept going, that he was just had a heart for God like I did, and he just wanted to grow in his faith like I did, and he was trying to walk it all out like I was, you know, and so it connected me well with that mentality, and so I just kept going. Time and time again, I just kept going, and over time, then I learned my Bible better, and I learned how to worship. Rather than the turn to hymnal number, whatever, it was like, it was a worship was important as to God. And so I began to grow in that. And I just started looking for ways to serve at this small church. So I'd go early and I'd stay late, and I was single and I just had a time to give. And sure enough, there were a lot of things that needed to be done. I didn't realize they vacuumed that church all every week. You know, I just didn't realize. I just went in and sat down. All the different things that needed to happen, I learned. And through that attitude, then I was introduced to a ministry. It was called Youth Development Incorporated. They operated a national hotline, 1-800-HIT-HOME, did other things too. So I began to serve specifically in that area. Ultimately became the ministry leader of the Midwest within that, did school assemblies, did 3-on-3 basketball tournaments, did concerts, just ways to try to reach youth for Christ. And I had a flexible work schedule to some degree, but it was pretty demanding. And during that time, I remember in my apartment, laying on my floor. I don't sit on the furniture so much. My legs have always bothered me, so I tend to be on the floor a lot. I remember laying on the floor, and God spoke to my heart, and he said, you're going to teach my word. And I didn't know what that meant. I really didn't know what that meant. I just filed it away and kept going, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, then you'll, you know, and just started looking for opportunities and taught the junior high at church and taught the this and taught, you know, just look for opportunities and just kept serving in that way. Well, in the midst of all that, I'd met and married Sandy, and she totally was clueless about what we were getting into. But I was feeling the pull toward giving myself full time to this youth thing. I was going to schools and really getting connected to the kids in the Lawrence North and Lawrence Central and just a lot of different school things. And I didn't know how to tell Sandy, you know, and crazy, she comes up to me one day and says, you know, I feel like maybe you're to volunteer full time and we'll just live off my salary. It was complete confirmation that she said that. And she made quite a sacrifice for that to happen. I mean, I was an engineer. I was making okay money, you know, and she had a good job with the airlines, you know, so you don't eat meat every meal. Really? I mean, really? So you don't have cable? I mean, really? So you just learn to get by. You know that, right? You have, in the name of following God's call, you make sacrifices. It's just the way it goes. All of us have walked through that, and God's been so faithful throughout Sandy and I's life together. And so I volunteered there for a few years and doing a lot of stuff with them. And then Megan comes along in 1992, and the church offered to pay our needs, just our basic needs, so that Sandy could stay home. And so we did. And we went from her making okay money to us making barely any money. But you know, fellas, when your wife wants something, you make it happen, right? You do. And I could tell very easily, Sandy wanted to be home with Megan. And it's like, okay. You know, and again, God was faithful all the way through all that. And so, you know, so now that I'm with the church more, I just began to do more church ministry things, and ultimately became ordained, and then became the assistant pastor, and then oversaw the staff there. It was about 15 or 18 guys and ladies. And then the youth pastor left, and so there was a void in the youth ministry, so I was the youth pastor then for a while, you know, and doing all those things. And then we lived on the south side of town, right across from Lutheran High School, if you know where Lutheran High School is. We lived right across from the street from that. And there was a few of us who made the journey up north to that church. So we started a home group there, and we did that home group with the Burgettes and the Poppings and the Flicks. Remember, for those of us who remember them, others. A few years we met. It was incredible. We had a good time of loving each other and caring each other. We did ministry with each other. It was good. Well, the leadership of the church then wanted to start a church on the south side. And they wanted the home group to be the beginning point, and they wanted me to be the pastor. And I wasn't what God wanted. So Sandy and I stepped away, and they went ahead and they started a church. And Sandy and I just knew that wasn't for me at that point in time, for sure. And so we got with Monica and Dennis and started a home group in Irvington. And we met there for, gosh, have you ever stopped to count how many years we were at your house? A while. I can't believe they put up with us for that long. It was great. I mean, we had so much fun. So I'm just going about loving life. I mean, I love my job. I love doing what I was doing. I had a lot on my plate, but I enjoyed it. But about 10 years after being a part of this church, I vividly remember where I was. God spoke to my heart, and he said, I want you to start a church. And I was stunned. I mean, I never had a desire to be a pastor. The day I was ordained, I didn't even know I was going to be ordained. We had two services. Sandy wasn't even there for the first service because she came to the second service because we had Megan. You know, it's like she wasn't happy, but I didn't know. You know, it was just, I just never had a desire to be a pastor. I just wanted to follow Jesus. Amen? And that one, I didn't want to follow him. Whatever that looks like, I'm good. And so all those kind of things were happening. Really enjoying things, but God says, I want you to start a church. And so I shared it with Sandy, and I was surprised that she didn't slap me silly or all the things that she could have done, laugh at me, all that stuff. So what I did then is I just began to write the verses down that I felt like God was sharing with me. And, you know, it became a pretty long list over a period of time. I got many verses about going home. And so I began putting my engineering resume together again, thinking God wanted me to move back to Northern Ohio and get a secular job and just do that. And but one Sunday, the youth had gone to Mexico, and we had come back and was going to different churches to share testimonies and the dramas and stuff. And we were at the Southside Calvary Chapel, and the kids had done their dramas, and I got up to share. And I don't know if it ever happened to you before, but as you're talking, you have an out-of-body experience, not literally, but kind of, you know? And so I'm as I hear God speak to my heart. Let me see, I wrote it down. You are right now doing what I called you to do. Stop running from it. And I knew what I was doing. Am I cutting in and out? Is that me? Wildest thing of all is Sandy was with us when the youth and I went south. So we come home, and she's in the kitchen getting lunch ready, and I'm standing there, and we're talking. And she said, the weirdest thing happened today. She goes, when you were up front sharing, the Lord spoke to my heart, Sandy spoke, and says, right now, Toby's doing what I called him to do. It was weird. It was just so cool. And so I immediately stopped, you know, trying to get my engineering resumes out and stuff, and began seriously to seek opportunities back in Ohio to pastor. And so we went back a time or two and visited a couple. I don't remember all. I don't remember. Anyway, so we did. And here. So we went back. Nothing ever really felt right. You get me, okay, Chance? Nothing ever really felt right through all that. Those are challenging times. Am I okay? There I am. Act two. That lasted for over 2 years. That's a long time. That's a long time.
you know, just waiting and listening and trying to pursue what I felt like God was calling me to pursue. And I didn't know really how to proceed. And well, during the time, the Southside Church plant, it was really floundering. I think they moved quickly when they shouldn't have. If they'd have waited, God would have called me. And they just were pushed forward. And that's my opinion. And so that church is going down the toilet. And so just didn't have the right leadership, in my opinion. But that's a whole other thing. And so I got in touch with one of the guys, Brent and Doug, and we met and started talking. And sure enough, God had burst something inside of them too. And so we started praying about, you know, Lord, what are you saying? Turns out the going home scriptures that I had was to connect with the Southside home group people. And so we began to pray at the Hoppings house every Thursday night. We prayed late summer, early fall of 03. It was a great time seeking the heart of the Lord. We had no idea what we were doing. We were totally clueless, but we knew God had called us to something, and we were just trying to hear his voice. It was real simple. It wasn't overcomplicated. I get messages and people calling me and about how do you start a church and, you know, all the 10 steps and all the things. And it's like, dude, if you're looking for 10 steps, I'm the wrong person. You know, if you're trying to hear a formula, you're not going to hear it from me. There is no formula. It's God, you know. It's getting in touch with the heart of God, in my opinion. And that's what God did for us. So we were just trying to be faithful. But one of the questions that kept going through my mind as we're praying and seeking the heart of God, I asked myself this 1,000 times, does Indianapolis really need another church? I mean, I'm driving by how many churches on the way to the South Side, you know? If you're calling us to be a church, then what's our purpose? And the Lord was very clear back then what our purpose was. And if you got your Bibles, I know I've said these before, but turn there because I want you to see them, because these are the foundational verses of our church. The first one's in Ephesians chapter 4. I think we're actually going to throw them up, but you can look for it if you want. But Ephesians chapter 4, is he going to make it up? Is he going to make it up? Verse 11. You all right, Nathan? Okay. So here's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And here's why. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, the word's mature, really, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay? Then the other verses in Colossians, when we just went through the book, I pointed it out. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. You doing all right, Nathan? So Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, again, the foundational verses for us as a body. It says, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man, here's the word, perfect, mature in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. This is what I know for sure about our body. This is what I know for sure. God has called us to be an equipping church. Okay? For Christians to grow in their faith, we need to be taught. We're already saved. So here in verses every week, John 3:16, having the gospel message presented every week doesn't make sense to me. We need to grow in our faith. For that to happen, we need to study the epistles. We need to study the Bible line by line by line by line. Amen? That's the purpose of our body. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 27, "For I've not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God," and we're committed to that principle here. So God calls us. He desires for us as a church to not only bring people into the kingdom, but then help them grow into maturity. I tried to emphasize it when I read the verses in Ephesians and Colossians, so that we would grow to maturity. And maturity, in a Christian sense, is always, always measured by Christ-likeness. So the goal of Calvary Christian Fellowship is to help a person become more like Jesus. There it is. There it is. That's why we do what we do. One of us has said a number of times to me and to others, he uses this, I may butcher it, but he uses this, he says, when he talks with people, what he's trying to hear is, what is God saying to them? And then he feels his role is to help them walk that out. That so resonated with me the first time he said it, and it still resonates with me. So what I and we try to do is hear you say, this is what God wants. How can I be a faithful husband? How can I be a faithful employee? How can I be launch out into the ministry that God has called me? This is the vision God has given me. This is the heart God has given me. And then we as a church can come around that person and support them, not just with money, but with a lot of things, a lot of assets, a lot of love, a lot of encouragement. Let's walk that out. And you know what? When you go back into our history, you'll see all sorts of different ministries that have launched from us. And people don't even realize all the different things we do in here because we don't champion them. It's just some God speaking to Monica Gavigan about blanket ministry, and she does it. It's God speaking to so-and-so about such-and-such, and they do it. And we as a church just step in and support them and walk that out. And if you're with us a while, you can go back and think of all the different ministries. It's Allie Farmer deciding, let's go downtown and give gloves to the people who are out on the streets. And out of that, we've done it year after year. It's standing with Caleb Vaughn as he's in Kenya right now, isn't it? He hearing the voice of God related to something really special. It's Dori and Akaika in Mazatlan right now. It's them hearing the voice of God, and then we just surrounding them and saying, how can we encourage you in what you have heard God say? The other is what troubles me is I'm supposed to tell you what God has said. Now, maybe on a corporate level, there's a sense of that. But, man, we want you to hear the voice of God. We want you to hear the voice of God. And then we want you to step out into whatever that looks like. Okay? So back up with me. Praying. We're back to praying at Brent's house all these weeks. It was clear as a bell that God wanted us to form Calvary Christian Fellowship of Indianapolis. So we began Sunday services in October of 2003. The first one was in my upstairs. Remember that for those of us who were there? We were upstairs. The next week we're at Raymond Park Middle School, which is kind of southeast side, a Warren school. And then in the summer came, Warren was closing Raymond Park because they didn't want to run the air conditioner. So they asked us to move out to Creston, which is better for us because I felt we were supposed to be out this way anyway. And so we then come out to Creston. We met at Creston for a year and a half. Warren had a policy you could only be there a year. They gave us a six-month extension, but then we had to move from there. And I knew the owner of Family Fun and Fitness, and I got in touch with them, and we started meeting out there for years we met out there. And throughout that whole time, I'm driving around thinking, Lord, where do you want us to be? You know? And man, this was the sweet spot. It just X marks a spot. I said to the guys a bunch, X marks a spot. It's right in here. But you know, there were no buildings that was big enough to hold us. I mean, we started with over 100 people. We stayed right about that. You know, I mean, so how do you have not many resources and buy a building? That's tough. We almost bought the Adagio's building. Remember that? It wasn't Adagio's. It's called Time Capsule Building. There at Mount Comfort and 40 on the southeast corner. We got pretty close to that. But boy, the Lord put a dead stop right there. And we just kept meeting at Family Fun and Fitness. Kept praying. At some point, this building comes up for sale. And it was a Masonic Lodge at the time. And so I kind of liked it from the outside. And so John Bova, who was a realtor, I asked him if he would set up a time for us to come in. So we came in, walked around the other parts of the building, and it was okay. It was dark physically because this is all wood panel. Everything in here was wood panel, dark wood. And so it was real dark physically. And it was okay. But I walk in that door, and I get to that entryway right there, and I can't go in. I could not go in. It was so dark spiritually in this room. And I'm not the most spiritual man, but I turned and walked out of that building and got in my car, and John come up and says, "What's wrong? We'll talk when we leave." And I got in the car and I said, "I'm not ever going back in that building. That building's bad. That building's defiled. That building is just no. No, no." And I told the guys, on no way will we ever go back in that building. I will never set foot back in that building. It's littler. I mean, I meant it too. I mean, it was just that dark. So we keep meeting at Family Fun and Fitness. This sells to a home health care place, and they run their administrative offices out of this, do some changes, make this room a lot brighter and all that. Still dark paneled. And so we keep meeting, keep looking, just, you know, loving God, just doing what God's called us to do. And then after a couple of years, this building came up for sale again. You know, I'm driving the area quite a bit. And it's like, no. And so I'm home mowing my grass. And I'm on my mower. I know right where I am on my mower. And God says, "You know, Toby, why don't you go back and reread some of the scriptures that I gave you when you were leaving that other church?" So I get off my mower, and I go in the house, and I had a long list of scriptures that God had given me. Some were about going home. Some were just random scriptures. By the way, just an aside, if you ever hear God speaking to you, just write things down. It may not make sense to you at the time. Just write them down. At some point in time, you'll begin to see this thread that's weaving these things together. Initially, you're writing them down. You think, well, what does this have to do with this? You know, it just doesn't make sense at that time. Just keep writing them down. And so God, I mean, just spoke. Go back and read those scriptures. So Nathan, I think we're going to be able to do it. He's going to throw three of the scriptures up that God had given me during the time. I have them written down here. Are we going to be able to get them up, Nathan? Oh, good. So this is one of them. This is, hang on. Let me find my sheet and I can read it off my sheet. So here's one of the first verses related to building, okay? It says, "Moreover, I'll appoint a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." Boy, I held on to that through all the wandering of the Israelites, you know, as we were trying to find a spot. And then here's a couple verses that were pretty strong after I was mowing. Isaiah 58:12. Is that the one we're on to now? Is that right? Yep. "From those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in." And then another verse is in Isaiah 64, "And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations." You see the theme? This is years. This is, I got these verses like 10 years before this building. And then the last one I want to read, there's others, but the last one was in Haggai in chapter 2. It says, "Now be strong, Zerubbabel," says the Lord. "Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land," says the Lord. "And work, for I am with you," says the Lord of hosts, "according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace." That was real special to me. Real special. Because at that point in time, I felt like God was giving us permission to pursue this building. Now, an aside, there are times when God just takes something and just never is to be used again. If you've ever been in Israel, I know Tracy has, others of us have been in Israel. When you go to the Sea of Galilee region, the very north tip of the area is where Jesus was, did a lot of his ministry. Capernaum, Bethsaida, I don't remember the other town. Anyway, there was a point in time when Jesus said to Bethsaida and this other town, he says, "Cursed are you, nothing will ever grow," kind of thing, "here again." And you know what? When you're in there, that place looks like the moon. Not even a dandelion grows in that area. Jesus said, "Nothing will ever grow here." And you know what? It never will. So there are things that God says that's forever defiled. Other things God can breathe life back into. Jeremy Camp, you know, the musician, his dad bought a church in Lafayette, Indiana. They're from Lafayette. It was a strip club. They redid the building, and it became a church. It was a building that God said once was defiled, now it will be used for my glory. And that's what I felt like God was saying related to this property. God said it was once given over to all that other stuff, but I'm going to rebuild this and make it for my glory. And so we began at that point, okay, we'll come in and we'll start to investigate. And it took a while for us, not only with the property owner here, but the town of Cumberland. That's a whole other story. There was a lot of gymnastics related with them. Ultimately, we were able to buy it. Praise the Lord. And fall of 2013. And when the women came in, I remember my wife standing right there in that front door. And the first thing she says is, well, the wall's got to go. I mean, and first thing we did, we painted everything. Remember all that? There were a bunch of us. We're here painting. We built the nursery wall, you know, so we could have the nursery and then the way into the ladies' restroom. Just basic things. And then, like I said, 6 years ago last week was our first Sunday service, December 22nd, 2013. Okay. First message, all the way back in the fall of 2003, was from Exodus 33 and 34, God being in their midst. And I remember we focused on, if God isn't with us, then we're wasting our time. It's not a social club. There's a lot of those around. It's not a golf country club. There's a lot of those around. This isn't that. This is a place where we come to meet with a holy God. And from there, we studied the book of John, and we've been through every New Testament book except Matthew, and then we've gone through a lot of the Old Testament books now because we've been doing the Old Testament character studies. Again, we'll start Daniel next week, Lord willing, and then I think when we finish Daniel, I think we'll do Matthew because I believe that'll give us an opportunity to finish all the New Testament. Okay, last couple of things. Thanks for hanging in there. I just feel it's important that you hear all this. The elders tell me that I should do it more than I do. Back when the church began, I started working at FedEx just for the insurance. I mean, the money was nice, but it wasn't very much. But it was the insurance. And so it was 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. I'm a night guy. I like the nights. And so it wasn't a difficult shift for me. But when I would come home, you know, at 4:30 in the morning, the girls were little. They were, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 years old kind of thing. So I'd go into their bedroom and just make sure the covers were up and all that. And one time I walked into Shelby, into the room. I think they were in the same room together at that time. And I pulled Shelby's covers up, and Shelby sits up. And she says, "The Lord would say to you this, don't be afraid of the small things." And she lays back down. I ran to my desk, and I wrote it down. The next night, I don't think I checked her covers. You know, pretty sure I just kind of just, hope you're okay in there. But, you know, it just really, really spoke. I mean, there's a little girl. See, I don't know, how old would she have been? Oh, 3, so 8, 7? Little girl just stood up and spoke God's word right to me. And the small things seemed to me to say that God wants to build a sure foundation upon which his name will be known throughout this area. I mean, when you think about where we all come from, there's people who come from Franklin. There's people who come from Carmel. There's people who come from all over. And God wants his name known throughout our city. So our challenge, the way I heard that, was to make sure that we do the small things well. The seemingly insignificant tasks, do we do well? We're not to be concerned about the big stuff and the flashy stuff and the stuff that draws a lot of attention, but doing and speaking what is right. And my prayer is that over the years, we've been about that. Just faithful to the small things. Faithful to the small things. So a couple years ago then, the elders, Dennis Gavigan, Dave Sterrett, Roger I haven't seen today, and Chris, and we were talking, trying to, you know, who are we again? Let's redefine who we are. Let's make sure we understand that this is who God wants us to be. So we sat down and we put some things together, and I want to share that with you as I close today. This is the mission that we believe God has called us, and I think Nathan's going to be able to throw it up. So the top one is our mission is to glorify Jesus, and we love God and we love others through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. That's the Ephesians 4 verse. And then out of that, we have a loving God, and then the things, and loving others will do that. But first, I want to read a couple verses. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, it says, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And then 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the glorify God part is that everything we are and everything we do revolves around one thing, bringing glory to God. That's the purpose for living as people, and that's our purpose for being a church, glorifying Jesus. Okay? So that's key. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He took the Ten Commandments down to these two, right? Love God, love others. So underneath glorifying God, we have a love God section, and we have a love others section. You see it there? So our statement of purpose as a church is simply this. We exist to glorify God, to glorify Jesus. And we accomplish that by loving God and by loving others through the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And then all these other things, worship, prayer, communion, obedience on the loving God side. And on this side is the teaching, the discipleship, the outreach, the fellowship, and the serving. And if you want it, you can look up those verses. And they just all emphasize this is who we are. This is why we exist. All our ministries are about that. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but my phone blows up with different opportunities to do different things, whether it's in Afghanistan or Zimbabwe or down the street or Oklahoma, whatever. I get so many different things. But one of the things that's important for me, and I say it a lot, if you're around me, you'll hear me say it a lot, I want to know where we're going. Because if I know where we're going, then anything that comes that's ancillary to that, I can say no to very easily. It doesn't fit who we are. So if somebody comes up with an orphanage opportunity that's in Kenya, that's great. But it may not be what we're called to do. It's Caleb. It's others. There may be a ministry opportunity, but it's not what we're called to do. So this kind of thing really helps me because it keeps me centered. It keeps us focused. And I don't want to be a shotgun just spraying little pellets all over the place. I think God's called us to be a rifle. Aim at that spot. So what's the spot? We want to glorify God. How do we accomplish that? Well, we want to do ministry to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so we want to go through all these things. And so then that's the way that we can kind of hone things and really aim straight like a spotlight on what God has called us to be as a church. Make sense? Back up. God's so faithful. You know, for those of you who know me, it's incredible that God would use a simple person for a task of honoring him, you know, in this way. And I happen to sit in this seat, you know, and so I'm blessed that God would want to use me in any way, in any way. I've had people ask me, you know, different aspects of being a pastor and all that kind of thing. I mean it when I say I never really cared about being a pastor. Here's what I care about. You ready? Here's what I care about. I want to love God. And I want to love Sandy. And I want to love my girls. That's it. Being a pastor is somewhere down in here. It's just what I do. It's not who I am. You hear that? Being a pastor is what I do. It's the calling that God has on my life. No different than Chris has had a calling in his life, and everyone, we go around the room, has a calling in their life. My calling is just different than yours. It doesn't mean I'm better or worse. It's just different. And so it's not who I am. Who I am is a follower of Jesus and hopefully a lover of three girls. And out of that, a lover of people. But we guys tend to get that, and we're so wrapped up in about who we are is what we do or what we drive. Let's keep it real simple. And I am so thankful that God has allowed us to be very simple in our focus. How about you meet together and love each other well? How about you meet together and you have a guy who has a heart for worship that would get up and share a little bit so you can grow in your worship? How about you get up and just simply sit on your stool because your legs bug you so much. Just sit on your stool and open your Bible and read it. How about that? And you know what? Okay. And you think about all that God's done because we've been faithful to a very simple call. Just a simple call. So let's not make it more than it is. Let's not make it more than it is in your family. Let's not make it more than it is in your business. Let's not make it more than it is than in your church. It's simply loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and loving your neighbor as yourself. There you go. There you go. Let's be about that this year. Who'd have thought we'd make it to 2020? Remember Y2K? The world's over 20 years ago, wasn't it? Remember those days? The world was over. You kids laugh because you have no idea what we're talking about. So as we head into this new year, I guess I thought, let's celebrate communion together. So we're going to pass it out. So some of the guys are going to go back right now, going to go get the stuff. We're going to pass it out and hold it, and then we'll just pray and honor Jesus and take communion, and then let's just go love like crazy, okay? Here, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for just your faithfulness, Lord. This is a testimony of the goodness of you, Lord. It's just wonderful all that you've done and all that you're going to do. And we're excited about that. Lord, we just pause in the midst of all the busyness of today, and we just thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to sending a Savior for us. And Lord, we want to honor you, Jesus, right now in our heart. Hey, fellas, we're going to pray, okay? Hey, fellas, we're going to pray. Fellas, we're praying. Lord, we're thankful for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We're thankful for you, Jesus, being willing to go to the cross and dying there. And we want to honor you. We want to honor you, Lord. We do. We're blown away by your goodness, God. Lord, remind us, even in this moment, how much you love us. That you, Jesus, would leave heaven and come to this earth. Born to die. Born to die. And what you accomplish there is freedom for us as we put our faith in you. So we celebrate that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys.